at, usually, and we had heard that we were allowed to go with our car into this area where the lion was, where the lions were. We had to pass through 3 gates and armed security, because obviously you don't want wild lions to jump over the fence and visit the nearby villages. We were instructed, you can go with your car, but by no means make an unusual sound and don't roll down the car windows, because then the lion will smell you. So we went by a pride of lions. We say a pride. With our car, they were just lying so passively under the tree. They looked so boring. So nice and little flexible rules and regulations. I rolled down the window. I took my pair of cartels. And these were now 2 offenses. I had made an unusual sound, although we were forbidden, and I had exposed the lions to the human smell within the car by rolling down the windows. I saw how one lion, he looked like this, a little younger, I would say, he's quite old, glanced to his, maybe it was his wife or it was his partner in crime, a lioness, and they came to the car. They knew what to do. He was on the left side and she was on the right side. And they started to rock the car in order to make it topple and then scratch us out of the windows and eat us. Like you eat a, what is it called? These things?
Artichoke.
Yes. And I looked into the eyes, and they didn't look peaceful like this. They looked as if spears were spears of, were flying from their eyes and hitting us and making us scream in terror. They were just really. Then I said, "Giant Singer!" rolled up the window, gave the sign to our driver, "Gee, now it's the time to be speedy." Just like I looked a moment ago to Hari Dev and said, "Now, please, it's time to accelerate the rhythm." He put his foot on the accelerator, gas pedal, and we started. And I think they were fed before, because if not, they would have run after us. But they, I think maybe Lord Nrsingadev was telling them, "Let them go this one time. They are my devotees, they don't always keep the rules of the forest park. What to do?" Let them go. But I very much value these classroom values which are represented by the lion and what it means. I'm a student of Bhaktivedanta Academy, and I perform all of my activities to the best of my ability. All my talents are given to me as gifts from Krishna. And so I act with respect, integrity, self-control, and gratitude, humbly offering all my actions to you. Now this requires some strength, some inner strength, to be respectful, even when so-and-so gets again on our nerves, to be integer and be honest, even if we are asked an uncomfortable question, to be self-controlled when everything in us screams and wants to have an ice cream and it's not the proper time, and to be grateful. That requires inner strength. Mr. Gandhi, Mohandas Gandhi, was speaking about non-violence. I think you must have heard about him. He said, it takes more strength to be non-violent than it takes to be violent. Because if when you are provoked and you are everything and you wants to be violent or so on, then you need to have some inner strength to control yourself and still act with integrity. So I like very much that the one who represents your values, respect, integrity, self-control, and gratitude, that he is a lion, because you need a lion-like strength sometimes when you are provoked and when you are not respected. You know, when someone is hurtful to you and you are, you have to tolerate it and not say, I also know martial arts. Ha! And then that is easy. But to say, no, I will be remain self-controlled and not come under the influence of these lower things like anger, lust, greed, and so on. That takes lion-like strengths. And the question obviously is, from where do we get this inner strength? How do we muster up this strength to go with integrity to life? Integrity means something. How would you define integrity? It's a difficult word.
We often say, like, doing what's right, even if no one's watching.
Yeah.
The sense of inner moral compass.
Wonderful, wonderful. Our teacher, she said, integrity is doing right and not wrong, even when no one is watching, and keeping to this inner compass, or this voice of conscience, which tells us this is right, this is not right, and so on. That takes some strength, no? I don't know. For me, it's sometimes difficult. Bhakti Charu Maharaj offered me ice cream, and I said, Maharaji, it was not the right time, you know. For me, I need 2 hours after the meal before I can take new things. And also, I'm for some reason I'm not an ice cream fan. So I said, but I needed, let me say, no, for what I want to say, of cold ice cream, but of warm ice cream. That's not always easy. I know chocolate kills you, but so then I have to be self-controlled. I'm a Swami. I should control my senses, and sometimes it takes strength for me. Everyone gives me so many good things to eat, and I should always keep to a diet. Jairati can tell you it's not easy to cook with this diet, but for self-control, it should be done. It should be done. It must be done. Unless you starve to death, you know. So it takes some strength. to always do the right thing and not the wrong thing. Mm. From where do you get this strength? I like very much what is how this mission statement ends. I'm offering all my activities to you. It's a you with a big you. I think it's not the teacher. It's Krishna, is it? Yes. So this point of inner strength by offering something to Krishna, this point was once made by Narada Muni. No, by Krishna to Narada Muni. Krishna wanted to make a point to one of his greatest devotees, Narada Muni. He said to Narada Muni, "Oh Narada, let us make a walk." They crossed the ocean and came to the mainland. Dwaraka was in the back, and they walked now on the mainland. And all of a sudden, the area turned into a desert. And Krishna said, "Narad, I'm very thirsty. Please, if you have a glass of water, bring a glass of water." "Oh," said Narada Muni, "we are in the desert. Where will I find a glass of water?" "You go straight ahead, then there will be a tree. And when you come to the tree, you go left, and after some time, there will be a village on the bank of a river. Ask there, and you will be given a glass of water." So Narada Muni went straight ahead, came to the tree, then he went, what was the direction? Left, yes, and he came to a village and he knocked at one door. It didn't open, there was no one there. Second door, no one. Third door, what was happening? No one. The door opened and a beautiful lady was there. Bright dress, blue, dazzling blue, with the yellow stripes. That's not so beautiful. I'm not so knowledgeable, but some good dress. So not yellow stripes, I'm sorry. And she said, "Oh, you must be Narada Muni." "Yes," said Narada Muni. "What can I do for you?" Narada Muni, "Oh my God, this is getting a little bit, she's a little bit overboarding in her affection." So he looked down and said, "I just came to get a glass of water." "Oh, that's all. There's so many more things to be enjoyed in life. It's not for me. It's for a friend." At this moment, in the back of the room, maybe from there, another door opened. And an elderly man said, "Oh, you must be Narada Muni. According to an ancient astrological prophecy, you will marry my daughter." "What? I'm like this. I'm not intending to marry," said Narada Muni. "Prophecy is prophecy. It's in the stars." So, long story, let us make it short. Narada Muni married, prophecy, it's in the stars, and he became the father of three children. The eldest was a girl, and then there was another girl, and then a young boy. After uh, 15 years, the rain started. The river before the village became into a raging monster. It flew over the banks and destroyed one of the houses, the second house, the third house, and finally it came so close to Narada Muni's house that he said, let's jump into a boat. All the family went into a boat. They were hurled down or swashed down or swept down or whatever you say in your language, moved down the river, and one wave came and took the boat up, and the boat fell down. All the inmates drowned in the boat. The wife was the first to go, the eldest daughter of Narada, first, second, then the second daughter, and finally, Hare Krishna, welcome.
What? They're science teachers.
Science teachers, please come and take your seat. Yes, yes. No, science teacher needs to sit elevated. So, everyone died. The daughters, the wife, the brothers, everyone. Narada Muni felt, oh no, what has happened? What has happened to me? All this misery. And Krishna, where's Krishna? And he screamed out, Krishna! Krishna! Rakshamang! Krishna! Third time. Pahimang! All of a sudden he looked, he was lying down, but he saw before him there was a dhoti, a yellow dhoti, and as he looked up, he saw Krishna. He was lying in the sand. And Krishna said, where is my glass of water, please? Narada Muni said, what was all this? It was Maya, said Krishna, my illusory potency. It came to you when you forgot your glass of water. She's sitting in the view, or when you forgot my glass of water, then all this Maya came. Pay close attention. This is scientific. Whenever you forget your service to Krishna, Maya will come. Attention, 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 please, little girls. Whenever you forget your service to Krishna, Maya will come and will be very, very bad for you. So, this is what Krishna wanted to make, this point. He wanted to show Narada Muni that it's so important to offer our activities as a humble offering to Krishna. The moment we don't do this any longer, Maya will come. It will come as little boys, Maya. It will come as teenage girls, Maya. It will come as grown-up, Maya. It will bring the right things. So my request to you is, if you forget everything, don't forget to bring your glass of water to Krishna. It is very, very important. I wanted to just ask Gokrishna to say just his message to all of you.
I was very fortunate, like all of you, to be born in a devotee family. I grew up at the manor also, so coming here reminds me of the manor school. I didn't go to the school, but I was coming like every week to the manor, but I always see the kids at the school and I always think, wow, they're so lucky they get to be at the temple every day. And I saw how much, how happy they were and how they just looked just so bright and effulgent. But I also saw how in my life, how much the temple and how much the devotee community really helped me. I used to feel so enlivened just to be at the temple. And even though I went to a normal school, it really protected me. It really it guarded me, or created like a barrier from what Maharaj was saying about how Maya can come. But having that solid foundation with the deities, with the devotees, it really protected me. Even though I wasn't going regularly to the temple afterwards when I grew up and going to university, I knew that if I ever needed Krishna, I can always go to the temple and I can always turn to him. When I was at university, I was just 10 minutes away from another temple, the Central London Temple, which is in the city. Going there was like almost like a relief for me, because it was a very intense place. London is just very, very intense, you know, and very stressful. Everyone's really frustrated and busy. But going to the temple, seeing the deities and doing service really was like an oasis, and it helped me so much that it brought up what was in me as I was growing up, which was I really wanted to do service and I really wanted to be a devotee full time. So having that contact and that protection by Krishna really helped me to be where I am today, where I have an opportunity to be able to do full time service, to feel Krishna's grace, feel Krishna's presence in my life. And I think also in one sense fulfill what was expected for me before I was born, in terms of raising a devotee child to then be able to give back to the community who have done so much for me. So I just wanted to, I guess, just share and say that where you are at the moment, it's like a preparation for the future, where I'm sure many of you, I mean, all of you will be, you know, like stars in our society, and we are the future. So it's important to always remember and remind ourselves, like, this is where our home is, and that we have many things to come, so we need to prepare ourselves. Just wanted to say, you know, thank you for also reminding me also of where I came from, and I really wish you all the best, and
thank you very much, thank you very much. Good, then Jairadi, would you Would it be all right? Could we make a photo with the lion?
Sure.
Yeah? For memory?
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
Standing,
standing, standing,
and then
you're
like a cat, but
she sides. Thank you.